the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
So could it be that Israeli action will derail the ceasefire agreed last night? As I said there just before the traffic, Iran has threatened to withdraw from the agreement because of the continuing Israeli attacks in Lebanon, and it's also halted the passage of oil tankers through the Strait of Hormuz in response to those strikes. We have three guests with us. I'm going to start with Fawaz Gurgaz, who is Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics. What's your assessment of what Donald Trump and the Americans and the Israelis have actually achieved with this war?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, this is a very fragile ceasefire. I don't think we have a complete ceasefire because Israel now has escalated its attacks in Lebanon radically, qualitatively, strategically. Hundreds of Lebanese civilians have been killed in the past 24 hours, point one. Point two, I think the overarching strategic point is that President Trump blinked first. He found himself in a strategic box. He was entrapped. He was desperate to get out. And I think Pakistan offered President Trump an off-ramp. And I think at the end of the day, regardless of the significant tactical setbacks that Iran has suffered in the past 5 weeks, Iran has shown an impressive resilient capacity, willpower. The regime is deeply consolidated. So all in all, even though the United States and Israel have achieved some significant tactical gains, they have lost the war strategically. Strategically, Iran has emerged as stronger, more resilient, and still now in control of the Strait of Hormuz, and basically still controls almost 900 pounds of high-grade enriched uranium, and has been able not only to widen the war, but to increase the economic pain worldwide.
Okay, Tom Wright is with us as well, senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, an Irishman who formerly served as senior director for strategic planning at the National Security Council in Washington. Tom, what's your assessment of where we're at?
Yeah, I think what happened yesterday was we went right to the brink of a massive escalation. Ultimately, Donald Trump, I think, took an off-ramp, which I think many people were relieved that he did, given the extremity of his rhetoric yesterday. But it's very hard to see how this war has left the United States better off than it was before it started. There have been a number of tactical gains, but at a strategic, you know, level, Iran remains in control of the Strait of Hormuz. President Trump said that Iran's 10-point plan is the basis for the negotiation. So it's hard to see really what this war has accomplished.
And Marion McKeown, what's your assessment of how Trump's art of the deal has worked out?
Well, I think that at the moment, excuse me, Matt, I've lost my voice since I saw you last. And hello to Tom. Great to hear your voice. I haven't spoken in a long time. I think this is a net. At the moment, I would say a net win for Iran, as was pointed out. It still has its nuclear weapons. It's taken a terrible pounding, lost its supreme leadership, but it is in control of the strait. But the concern here is Lebanon at the moment, because this could derail the whole thing, and it could be deliberately. President Trump spoke on PBS a couple of moments ago, and he said that, yeah, Lebanon's not part of the deal, and he referred to it as a little skirmish. Well, 1.3 million people have been displaced in Lebanon, well over 1,000 killed, and if Israel is just going to up the ante by carpet bombing Beirut and Lebanon now, this ceasefire will not hold. So I think that this is very, very dangerous. It's making an already precarious situation even more so, and Donald Trump needs to get onto Netanyahu, smartish, and say stop bombing Lebanon, because only he really has the power to do that.
Okay, a listener says there's a reason why previous US presidents, both red and blue, never went near Iran. They knew it wouldn't be easy. However, in Trump, Netanyahu found his useful idiot. What do you think, Fawaz Gurgaz, of that. I mean, has America been effectively, or the Trump administration, been pushed into a position by Netanyahu that it now likely deeply regrets?
Look, my view, both as a student of international relations and as an American, is very straightforward. Regardless of what Netanyahu, what nonsense Netanyahu basically told President Donald Trump, the responsibility lies squarely with Donald Trump. Was Donald Trump, is Donald Trump so gullible, so idiotic, to buy the narrative and the story sold to him by Benjamin Netanyahu and the Mossad? If he is gullible, that is catastrophic. And if he basically believed in the narrative in the first place, that's also catastrophic. The reason why this is a very, very serious, grave, strategic moment for the United States is that American institutions have been hollowed out, whether we're talking about the State Department, whether we're talking about the National Security Council, and whether we're talking about the Defense Department or the so-called War Department. What you have in the United States today is a personalized decision-making process, a personalized decision-making process in which the President of the United States has surrounded himself with loyal, second or and third and fourth rates, yes, man. And the so-called defense secretary or war secretary is a classic example of the basically hollowing out of the American institutions. At the end of the day, regardless of what happens in the next 2 weeks, what Donald Trump has done, he has undermined his own negotiating position. He has undermined America's standing in the world, and he basically detonated the culture of diplomacy by attacking, preempting a nation twice, last June and now, in which he was engaged in negotiations. And Iran was willing now, as we understand from sources both in the British government and the Omani government, was willing to make painful concessions in order to avoid war. So all in all, President Trump owns this particular grave strategic miscalculation. And the United States now is seen worldwide. I'm talking to you from London. The United States now is seen as a disruptive great power as opposed to a power that really promotes stability and peace and order in the international system.
Yeah, Tom Wright, what about that loss of influence for America now internationally? Because quite bizarrely, Trump has spent his whole time arguing with his allies and yet talking up those who you might regard as actually helping the Iranian regime, the likes of Russia supplying intelligence and information, China apparently providing supplies, and also help from North Korea for Iran. And yet, not a bad word to be said about any of them. And he lashes out at everybody in the Western world. What's going on there?
Yeah, it's really quite striking. I think there is some evidence that Russia and China have helped Iran sort of indirectly in this conflict. Donald Trump has not mentioned China's assistance at all. They sent missile fuel propellant, and also they have some civilian companies that provide real-time satellite information that seems to have been helpful to the Iranians. So he said nothing about them, but he's hammered Europe and said that he's considering pulling out of NATO because Europe has not supported his war. Europe has actually, I think, quietly facilitated many of the US military operations in Iran. He's just dismissed that. And then Asian countries have really taken the brunt of the energy crisis. 80%, over 80% of the crude oil from the Strait of Hormuz goes to Asia. Only 4% goes to Europe. But he's basically been completely absent. And so I think in terms of dealing with that energy, an economic crisis. And so I think that's been one of the big contradictions in his geopolitical, worldview, is that America's rivals and competitors have been coordinating more closely, while America's alliances, which have always been probably America's most valuable strategic asset have been fragmenting over the course of the last few weeks, if not longer.
Let's hear a little bit of Pete Hegseth, the Defence Secretary, answering questions this morning on what this ceasefire means for Iran's nuclear ambitions and whether he believes the US has achieved regime change in Iran.
Well, it's always been non-negotiable that they won't have nuclear capabilities. And so right now it's buried and we're watching it. We know exactly what they have, and they know that. And they will either give it to us, which the president has laid out. They'll give it to us voluntarily. We'll get it. We'll take it. We'll take it out. Or if we have to do something else ourselves, like we did Midnight Hammer or something like that, we reserve that opportunity. But what's clear, what the new Iranian regime knows, is they'll never have a nuclear weapon or the capability to get a path to one. As far as the new regime, you heard the list that I read. It's a new group of people who've seen the full capability of the United States military and has a new calculus about what it means to negotiate with us. Hence why they came to the table wanting a ceasefire and the shooting to stop. So this new regime, which the regime has been changed, has a different interaction with the U.S.
Is that believable, Marion McKeown? First of all, we were told last summer that the nuclear capacity had been bombed out of existence. Now we're getting a different story, as we've been getting over the last couple of months. But is it the case? Can we believe that the new regime in Iran is going to be different in its approach to dealing with the Americans?
Well, you know, they may be more pragmatic, and let's not forget that this is a regime that has sponsored terrorism around the world and has been responsible for the deaths of its own people and the suppression of its own people. But look, both sides are trying to paint this as a win. Both sides are trying to portray the other side as having blinked first. I think that the consequences of Donald Trump following through in his threat would have been unthinkable for the world as a whole, but for the United States, because it really did have the most to lose. It is not the terrorist regime here, but had it gone ahead and made good on its threat, then I think that really its place in the world would have been fundamentally changed, and that the price for America and its reputation would have been far higher, you know, relatively than it is for Iran. So I think that, you know, obviously Pete Hegseth is trying to say it's a new regime. It's not a new regime. It's the direct descendants of the old regime, literally. In one case, it's a blood descendant, the son of the Ayatollah. There's no reason to believe they're any more pragmatic or any less hardline. We haven't seen anything to suggest that. And what we have seen is that they have a very high capacity and a very high threshold for pain, and that they are willing to make the rest of the world suffer economic pain as well. And they now, it's as though this, rather than the nuclear materials they have, or the potential nuclear materials, is now a far greater instrument of leverage for them, that they can shut down the Strait of Hormuz and it basically paralyze a lot of the world's trade at their whim.
Fawaz Gurgis, do you expect this ceasefire to hold? And where do you think we're going to be in 2 weeks' time? Will there be some degree of settlement reached?
Well, it's really very, very difficult to say. I think the differences between the two sides are huge. They don't see eye to eye on many of the points. Will the United States lift all the sanctions on Iran, sanctions that have broken the backbone of the Iranian economy? Will the United States allow Iran to basically enrich uranium at home, and at what percentage? Will the United States pay reparations for the damage that the United States and Israel inflicted on Iran? Will the United States accept a semi-control of the Strait of Hormuz by Iran and by Oman? There are more questions than answers, and my overall take is that the odds are against a diplomatic breakthrough in the next 2 weeks, even though I think the ceasefire will be extended, a few weeks and even months. The only hopeful sign is that President Trump wants out. President Trump realizes the costs, the domestic costs and the economic costs of his miscalculation on Iran. And I think Iran is genuine. Iran wants a lasting, enduring peace. again, the spoiler is Benjamin Netanyahu. And also, the devil lies in the details, because even though President Trump says that Iran's 10-point proposal is workable, we'll work with it. But, I mean, Iran's 10-point proposal is a wish list. It's an ideal type proposal. So all in all, I think it's a brief moment of relief for Iran, for the United States, for the Iranians, for the Lebanese, well, not for the Lebanese, of course, for the Gulf, for the world economy. But the reality is there's a great deal of hard work to be done. And I hope that the American team that will go to Islamabad in Pakistan on Friday will include some technical and intelligent diplomats, as opposed to Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, amateurs and really jokers when it comes to really questions of peace and diplomacy and war in the Middle East and the international system as well.
But Tom Wright, he will send Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, won't he? Because he doesn't like the expertise that he inherited.
Yeah, I think the reports this morning suggested he was going to send the Vice President, J.D. Vance, which I think would be significant because Vance has reportedly been the official who's the most sceptical of post-war at the beginning and almost certainly wants out. And so I think his sort of presence as leader of the negotiating team would sort of suggest that the Trump administration wants to extract itself from the war. I would say, too, though, it's not clear to me what exactly has changed with the ceasefire. There have been reports overnight that there have been attacks both on Israel and on Iran, attacks in the UAE by Iran. The Strait of Hormuz is not open. And obviously the war, Israel's war with Hezbollah, you know, continues. So I think it's very unclear right now if there even is a full ceasefire. Clearly, I think the US and Iran are not firing at each other, but whether or not it's a broader ceasefire, I assume that will kick in later today. But right now it's pretty murky. And then, you know, on the 2-week deadline, the gap between the two sides is significant. We can expect, I think, the region to intervene with the US on the negotiations. We've already talked about Israel, which I think is worried, you know, about the development yesterday. But the Gulf states are not fully welcoming, you know, of this either. I think they're worried about being in a worse position as a result of the war than they were before. And they don't want Iran to be effectively in control of the strait, charging a toll and deciding who goes through and who does not. And they're worried that the regime, you know, has become even more radicalized, you know, and will reconstitute its missile, you know, program. So I think it's very unclear, you know, where we go from here and exactly what the, you know, substantive outcome of the negotiation will be.
And very briefly, Mary McKeown, just to finish, one of the things that Trump today has suggested is that Iran and America will come together to extract the tolls in the Strait of Hormuz. What are the chances, you think, of that happening?
Well, it's like two mafia bosses going into business together, isn't it? You can't really trust either of them. It seems extraordinarily unlikely. Look, they're so far away from this ceasefire, even holding for 2 weeks, although I suspect that, as was said earlier, this could be dragged out for months, I think, this ceasefire, because it provides the emergency off-ramp. And if talks fail in Flanders, they can keep kicking it on, so it's neither one thing nor another. But I just don't see that happening. I don't think there's any way that will happen.
Marion McKeown, for our Last Word American correspondent, Tom Wright from the Brookings Institution, and Fawaz Gurgais from the London School of Economics. Thank you all very much for being with us on The Last Word today.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.